Hello there and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for stopping by. Today's going to be an interesting day as we're going to look at the mass readings for the commemoration of all the faithful departed, commonly known as All Souls Day. It's a bit interesting this week because last week we celebrated the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Ordinarily, this would be the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time, but because of the importance of this day, the Church substitutes this commemoration for the faithful departed, All Souls Day, for the readings of the ordinary, the Mass of the readings for the Mass of the ordinary, the particular Sunday in Ordinary Time. We're going to see that next week as well, as we wind down the church year. As next week, we will, and we'll talk about it more when we get to it, but next week, instead of the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, we will celebrate the dedication of the Lateran Basilica. Again, more on that next week. Following week, 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. After that, the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, commonly known as Christ the King. And the week after that, believe it or not, begins Advent. So we are closing out. We're very close to ending the current liturgical year. We're going to go into the new liturgical year with the first Sunday of Advent, just to give you an idea of where we stand. But we'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. Now, today we will read the readings, the Mass readings for the commemoration of All Souls Day. It's a bit tricky because we've got a lot of different readings that the Church gives us to choose from. I'm going to go with one set of them. If for some reason you hear different readings when you go to church this weekend, just know that there is some flexibility there. But the main message of this great day is we pray for the souls in purgatory. That's what this day is all about. Yesterday, or depending on when you hear this, I don't want to say yesterday, but the day before, November the 1st, the day before All Souls Day is All Saints Day. And that's a day to celebrate, or to set aside and commemorate, all of the saints in heaven, especially those who are not officially canonized. You know, it's a day set out to commemorate all the saints in heaven, but we especially want to focus, the Church wants us to focus on those unknown saints, relatives of you and me, friends, neighbors, people who have not officially been canonized by the Church, but who very well could be residents of heaven. There are a lot of people who are probably in heaven that might surprise you and I, right? We just don't know, but that's our goal. We are all called to be saints. So we believe, that's what the virtue of hope is all about, the virtue of hope that we receive when we're baptized. That enables us to believe that no matter how imperfect or how fallible any of us can be, we can all eventually become citizens of heaven with the help of God's grace. That's what hope is all about. So you and I, we are called to be saints. So when we celebrate All Saints, that's for, I want to say, ordinary people like you and me. We're celebrating the residents of heaven, known or unknown. But today we focus on those souls in purgatory. And you know what? They need our help. I'll tell you what, if you ever hear that I die, please pray for the repose of my soul. Really. We don't want to assume that, not that you're going to assume that I'm in heaven. If you know me, I really doubt you'll assume that. But seriously, there were some people we automatically think, well, they're definitely in heaven. We don't know that. With the exception of canonized saints, we don't know for sure. So the Church encourages us to pray for the souls of those who are deceased, especially our family, parents, children, siblings. It's very important for us to not forget them. Because like I said, I don't want anybody to forget about me when I die. And anymore, there's a lot of tendency to assume everybody's in heaven. But that is not the teaching of the Church. You know, we can't assume that they are in heaven. And if we pray for the soul of someone who is not in purgatory, maybe they're already in heaven, we have to trust that the Lord will use those prayers in another way. You know, it comes down to trust. It's not a matter of if this person I'm praying for who is deceased, they're already in heaven. Those prayers will get wasted. They won't get wasted. God won't waste our prayers. But we certainly want to remember those who have preceded us in death. We really do. We don't want to forget them. So these readings are going to be all about that today. All right, I've spoken too much already. Let's begin with prayer, then we'll get right to the readings. So if you'll join me, I want to place us, remember that we're in the presence of God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you acknowledging that you are all-powerful, acknowledging that you can do all things, you see everything, you are completely in control of our lives, of the world, of the universe. And Father, we also thank you. We thank you for all the great things that you have done throughout history, not just for us, but for people throughout the years. You've done so many good things, Father. Thank you for creating us, for adopting us as your children, for sustaining our lives, for giving us all that we need to remain alive, because we wouldn't be alive if you didn't do that for us. So we're very thankful for that. Father, on this day, we especially recognize the souls of our deceased family members and friends, acquaintances, co-workers, people we've known over the years. We pray for their souls today, Father. We ask that you look with favor upon them, welcome them into your heavenly kingdom. And Father, I also ask that you give me the words today. This is an important day. I don't want to get this wrong. I ask you to give me the words to deliver the message that you have for us today. And please open up all of our hearts, Father, to be able to hear what it is you have to say and to put it into practice in our lives. Father, as I always do, I ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. Again, my name is Gary Zimak. We come to you this once each week to discuss the weekly Mass readings for whatever Sunday it is that we happen to be at in the liturgical year. And, you know, it's sometimes tricky because this program, you're going to be listening to this on different days, and there are several Catholic radio stations across the country who carry the program as well, and they air it on different days. So I never know when exactly you're going to listen to this, but we are always looking at the Mass readings for the nearest Sunday. I don't know how else to put that, because I just found out today at one of the stations that airs my show airs it on Wednesday. So I never know for sure. But this week, we're going to look at the readings for the commemoration of the faithful departed, commonly known as All Souls Day. If you want to find out more information about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. I'm accepting bookings for next year, for 2026 right now. So if you want to bring me to your parish or your conference, send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com or visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and contact me through the website. You can also sign up for my daily email reflection, as well as purchase any of my 14 books that are going to be available on the website as well, followingthetruth.com. All right, so as I said at the start of the show, we've got different readings to choose from. I was looking through all of the different readings that the church offers today, and there are many. So you might hear different readings than the ones I'm using today, but the theme is the same. We want to focus on the souls in purgatory and recognize that they're incapable of helping themselves at this time. Their lives on earth are over. They are basically waiting or being purified. I don't want to just say waiting because it's a matter of purification in order for them to enter heaven. If they're in purgatory, they will eventually make it to heaven. That's the good news. The bad news is they might have to undergo some purification because nothing imperfect, no one imperfect can enter the kingdom of heaven. So there is some purification necessary, but they can't do anything to help themselves. Therefore, they're dependent on us to pray for them, to fast, to sacrifice for them, to help them. And, you know, sometimes you wonder, what can you do for a deceased loved one? You might feel bad about something you should have done while they were alive. Well, pray for their souls do some form of sacrifice and have masses said for them. That is a great way to honor and help those who are deceased. So with that in mind, let's look at these readings. I'm going to choose for the first reading today, just to make it easier for me. You know, normally what I do is start with the gospel and then back up. But for today, since I'm sifting through so many readings today, and we already know the theme, it focuses on the souls in purgatory, I think it's appropriate for today, just for today, to begin with the first reading. We'll do the responsorial psalm, and then the second reading, and then we'll do the gospel. So today, because we already know the concrete message that the church wants us to get from these readings, I think it's just best to go in order. One time only. Don't get used to this. I'm not going to do this all the time. That's my trademark, you know, the fact that I start with the gospel on this show each week. But let's do this, because I especially like the reading I'm going to use. The first reading comes from the Book of Wisdom. The very first verse that you'll hear me read sets the tone perfectly for this commemoration today. First reading comes from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. The souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed in the view of the foolish to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are in peace. For if before men indeed they be punished, yet is their hope full of immortality. Chastised a little, they shall be greatly blessed, because God tried them and found them worthy of himself. As gold in the furnace he proved them, and as sacrificial offerings he took them to himself. In the time of their visitation they shall shine and shall dart about as sparks through stubble. They shall judge nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord shall be their king forever. Those who trust in him shall understand truth, and the faithful shall abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are with his holy ones, and his care is with his elect. You know, one of the things that you'll hear me say often is it's very important to read the Bible through the eyes of our Catholic faith. And many times the church will supplement the information contained into these readings, because you have to remember that the church compiled the books of the Bible. So the church existed before the Bible existed. It's possible for us to read a passage from Scripture and draw the wrong conclusion. Now, we're encouraged. The church encourages us to read the Bible, but we have to be careful that if something we read conflicts with the teaching of the church, or we get an interpretation that really goes against something the church teaches, then we have to really yield to the wisdom of the church and recognize that, well, we got this wrong. Case in point, this first reading, the souls of the just are in the hands of God, and no torment shall touch them. We're talking about the deceased here. They are free from earthly temptations. They are, so to speak, technically in a better place. Now, you might say, well, what if somebody was condemned to hell? Well, they're not in a better place, but we don't know for sure who is condemned to hell. We pray that our relatives, our friends, people we know don't end up in hell. We pray nobody ends up in hell, but hell is real according to the church. It's a teaching. People go to hell because they abandon God. They reject God in this life. So if you want to, you know, because especially when somebody dies, you go to a viewing and you never know the right things to say. They're in a better place, something like that. Their suffering is over, which all of it's true, because no matter where somebody ends up, they are in the hands of God when they die. So I think it is safe to say they are in a better place, but we got to be careful to not say, well, they're in heaven, because again, we don't know that. This first reading basically says that while they were on earth, the deceased struggled, as we all do. But now they are in the hands of God, and we trust that, we entrust them to God. And that's why we have masses said, that's why there's funeral masses. We entrust the deceased to the mercy of God, knowing that above anything else, he wants them to be in heaven. And while we don't know for sure where any of the deceased are currently residing, heaven, hell, purgatory, we choose We're encouraged to choose to trust in God's mercy and do what we can, which is mainly prayer, to help the souls, right? And through hope and the fact that we know that God wants them to be in heaven, and we know God is merciful, we hope with confidence that our loved ones are in heaven. But again, we don't assume it. So I think it's safe to say they're in a better place. Their earthly sufferings are over. That's safe to say too. But we don't want to stop praying for them. So this first reading is comforting, but it has to be read in the right way. You know what I'm saying? We have to make sure that we don't conclude that they're automatically in heaven, because that is not what the church teaches. And that's not a safe approach. It might be comforting, but sometimes it's never okay to change the truth so that we're comfortable. It might make me feel good to think that my mother is in heaven, and I sincerely hope that she is, and I believe there's a good chance that she is, and I know God wants her to be there, but I still pray for her soul, because that wouldn't be fair to her in case she is currently being purified in purgatory, okay? It's tricky. I know it's tricky, and I'm trying to give you the truth without being cold, because there is reason to hope that our loved ones are in heaven. But we want to do what we can to help them along, okay? The response to Surreal Psalm, one of the most comforting psalms, and if you do a Google search on what's the most popular psalm, this one is going to be at the top of every list I've seen anyway, and it just happens to be my favorite psalm, the 23rd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me, he refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. With your rod and your staff that give me courage, you spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. Again, a very comforting psalm. You hear this a lot at funerals, and this is good to know that the Lord is watching over his children, and when they die, especially if it's somebody you love, when they die, you can safely say that they are in good hands, right? I think that's a safe thing to say. The second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. Brothers and sisters, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person, one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? Not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Take comfort in the fact that Jesus died to redeem all of us, all mankind, throughout the ages. Jesus died so that your loved one, and you too, but your loved one right now, since we're focusing on the souls in purgatory, will go to heaven. Take comfort in that fact. That it is now possible for them to live in heaven. And continue to pray for their soul. Continue to pray for their soul, to do what you can, because you're still here in this life. You can pray and fast and sacrifice, have masses said, for the souls of the deceased. But know that it is absolutely possible right now for them to be in heaven. Just don't assume it, right? And that's, you know, I'm repeating myself, and that's intentional. Because I think we need to really understand what the church teaches. Because what happens if we assume everybody's in heaven? We stop praying for their souls. And that's wrong. That's wrong. It might make me feel better, but it's not correct. It's not what the church wants us to do. So keep praying for your loved ones. Have hope that they're where they should be, that they're at peace, but keep praying for them. Believe me, and this is the church's teaching, God will use those prayers to help somebody else if your loved one does not need them, okay? Because once somebody's in heaven, we don't need to pray for them because that's the ultimate destination. All right, let's look at the gospel. John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said to the crowds, "Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father." Listen to this. Now this is me speaking. I'm departing from the gospel. "This is what God wants. God the Father wants this for your loved ones, your friends, your deceased friends, as well as for you and me. This is the will of my Father," Jesus said, "that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day." God wants all of us to be in heaven. That doesn't mean it's automatic. And I'm, you know, again, that's the theme today. That's what I want to make sure that we understand. This is a day set aside for us to pray for those who have preceded us in death, our friends, our relatives, people we've known, co-workers. We want to pray for their souls today, recognizing that it is possible that they're in heaven, but it's also possible they're in purgatory. Now, in all honesty, I've got to say this. If someone is in hell, prayers can't help them. But we hope, based on, you know, that gospel goes a long way to give us confidence. God wants everyone to be with him in heaven. And he's going to do whatever he can to make that possible. We never know. Years ago, it used to be believed that anyone who commits suicide automatically goes to hell. That is not the teaching of the church. The teaching of the church is that for anybody to commit suicide, and this is in the catechism, they're obviously struggling mentally, and they're not in their best mind when they would do something. They're not in their right mind when they would do something. So the church entrusts those who have committed suicide to the mercy of God, knowing that God can read souls. He knows what we're thinking. See, we can look at somebody's actions, and we might not know what's motivating those actions. We could just see externally what people do, but God knows why we do what we do. He knows our will. He can read our motives for doing what we do. And we let him be the judge of that. So we have reason to believe that anyone who dies can be in heaven. But on this day, we are encouraged to pray for their souls, to help them along, if you will. We don't want to write anybody off and say, oh, there's no use praying for them, either because they're in heaven or we think, oh, they were so bad, they're automatically in hell. Not so. Not so. We just don't know. People could have had a conversion at the last minute. They could have encountered the Lord in their judgment and had a last minute conversion. We just don't know. We leave the benefit of the doubt up to the Lord. We give him the benefit of the doubt, I should say. And we continue to pray for this, all the souls of the deceased. Okay, and that's what today was all about. So today's a day that really is an optimistic day. It can be a little melancholy, a little bit sad as we remember those who we have lost to death. It's difficult. I think of my parents sometimes. I think of all my aunts and uncles. I mean, they're all deceased now. And it's difficult. I think of coworkers, friends. It makes me sad because when somebody dies, there is a void in our lives, especially if it was somebody who was close to us. There's no denying that. And Jesus knows that. Now he can give us the grace to help us to find comfort, but there's still going to be something missing when somebody we love dies. So today we can pray for them and ask God to have mercy on them. That's the message of today. But we can also have hope that they will one day, maybe they're there already, but at least one day can live with the Lord forever in heaven in total happiness. And of course, we believe the same for each of us. Every one of us was created to live as saints in heaven. We might not be officially canonized, but that's what we were created for. So it's important to remember that. All right? Sound good? I hope this was a good show for you today. Again, it's a special day. It's not your typical 31st Sunday in ordinary time. We're bypassing that because the church deems this to be an incredibly important day. So we commemorate the souls of all the faithful departed on this day. So if you've got friends, loved ones, family members, pray for their soul on this day, on November the 2nd. But actually, the entire month of November is dedicated by the church to the souls. So it might be a good idea to visit a cemetery, say some prayers for the souls of your parents or your children or anybody who might be there. That's something that I always like to do. And that's all I have to say for now. I want to thank you for listening to the show. I hope you know that I'm praying for you. Please keep me in your prayers as well. And if you'd like to find out more about the work that I do or maybe invite me to speak at your parish or your conference, I do have openings for Lent of 2026 at this point. So if you want me to bring the Give Up Worry for Lent parish mission to your parish, please let me know. Contact me at followingthetruth.com. God willing, I plan to be here again next week. We could do this one more time. As we wind down the church year, you know, we're coming to the end of the church year, and we're about to begin again with the season of Advent. That is really hard to believe, but that is a matter of weeks. We're going to be into the season of Advent. So we're going to continue to wind down the church year. And the beautiful thing about it is when one church year ends, the next one begins. Sort of a reminder of the eternal life that's promised to all of us if we just follow the Lord and do our best to follow His commandments and do His will. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. And I look forward, God willing, to joining you again next week on the show. Bye-bye now.